last minute issue yeah. with a client.
I've been charging Edwin to do his stuff, but I mean,
you've been
on him. I'm like, I'm trying this. I sent him the lunar eclipse thing. I'm like, why don't you do your saboteur test and watch the lunar eclipse? He's like, awesome, thanks. You know, like all excited about it. I've been trying different exercises. You know, we've just been trying. Like, when I do something, I just tell him I do it. So he knows that I'm actually trying.
They said you're a good accountability partner, for the record, too.
Yeah. Wait.
So, we're going to get started. Supposed to be here, and...
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully she'll be here. I don't know about Chris. He said it's the craziest, busiest time for a moving company, spring. Yeah.
Especially the students.
Students and everything.
Oh, good. Hopefully my house will sell.
Yeah.
You have a house on the market?
In Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, Josh, what did we do? Start?
It's been a long time, and they've had such bad weather, so it's like, it's finally changed.
Mike's want to leave a call.
I've been thinking. I've got my vision board up.
Well, just for the boys.
It's amazing what impact the weather has on the economy. Like,
okay.
I mean, as a financial advisor, we all kind of economic. I was just reading reports this week, and now that the weather has turned around, I mean, all the data is looking better. Mm-hmm. All the economic data.
I can tell you that from my call track we did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Let's get here and let's get present. Whew. You know, I feel the need to do my pace stuff because I feel all scattered, like riding and feeling, realizing I was going to be late, and I feel bad about being late. Yeah. So we're just going to get some water if you need some. You know, ooh, Lord of Mercy, give a little air there. Again, you don't have to have huge amount of water, just little sips, and we're going to find the brain buttons, I mean the little collarbone here, and go underneath, and kind of go on material, put your hand here. It reminds you to take a deep breath, which is the first thing that shuts off is our breathing reflex. When we get under stress and we're rushing like I was, or we're like, you know, stressed. Hey, buddy.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. So we're going to do that. Take a. How many of you have been using this during the week? Remembering to? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you something else today that will kind of give you another impetus to use it. And then we're going to do cross. Anybody remember why we did this? Get our right
brain besides.
Yeah, I'm all out here with my right brain having ideas. And as you saw, time wasn't uppermost in my mind this morning. We had something come up last minute. So, dealing with that. So, when you notice this, the months, are you noticing a shift in the way you're feeling?
Absolutely. Every single time. It's weird. I'm like, oh, I'm here, present.
So, we're getting present. So, the next thing is you're going to go right into your pretzels. Hookups, you can do it seated. You can stand and do it. Tongue in the roof of the mouth. The limbic brain is above your palate, behind, and we're just connecting your executive functioning brain to all parts of your brain. This is more like a front to back. The side to side is connecting this. This is more like front to back. Get you out of that fight or flight, get you out of that, oh, I've got that emotional issue. Oh, just breathe. It helps you bring you here. And then if you feel like switching, you can. And do it the other way. And again, let me remind you, you can do this very subtly if you're talking to somebody and they're like stressing you out and you're seated, you can just cross your legs and kind of do this. It kind of reminds your brain of that. You can stand and talk to somebody and put your hands like this and your foot like that. It doesn't have to be, wait a minute, you're stressing me out. You know, so.
Excuse me.
Now see, this whole office. This whole office, the advantage of having the whole team is everybody can do this. When you come out of it, come out like this, okay, just so you don't break that connection. Cool. That, now I feel so much better. Just, I feel present. So, thank you. So, Josh, do you want to get started?
Sure. So, we're just going to check in with you guys about the, first starting with the, kind of the, call the discovery questions on page 82. So, you know, what did you realize that you needed to change about your work environment, maybe, for focus? And did you make any changes to your work environment?
I cleaned off my desk.
You cleaned off your desk, yes. Okay.
It was
awesome.
So freeing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it was great.
Totally. That's actually what a lot of people sometimes, when they clean first, it like gives them the internal focus, the internal structure to then jump into their day, so that's
I was
cool.
Overwhelmed by how my desk looked.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you're right brain, if you're right brain like me, we have stacking systems.
Yeah.
That stack. And we visually, I remember where things are by color and how it looks, but it's a stacking. But eventually I just go, this is chaos, so I have to clean it.
Any other?
I got this extremely geeky looking thing.
Yeah.
Because Matt has it and he's been telling me to get it.
Yeah.
And so the weird thing, I mean, it's just like your phone constantly attached to you, but like y'all said in your thing, is it's my music.
Oh.
So
okay.
Then I'm like, I'm not stressed about the phone because it's never there.
Yeah.
And so I can always listen to music hands free. So I can quiet things out quicker.
Okay.
So it's powerful.
It's just a Bluetooth headset. It looks really weird, okay. But
it's like Star Trek. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I like that better than going around with that in your ear.
Exactly. So if I want to listen to music, I'm just like this.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if the phone rings, I just hit ignore most of the time.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
Right.
Good.
So it's just, I mean, I thought, dude, it's kind of like, I feel like I'm wearing a noose around my neck is my thought, but it's what I thought when I saw Matt wearing it. Like, seriously, it's relaxing to have. He's right.
Mm. Interesting. Cool.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes.
So I don't know if it's allergies or what, but I've been like hacking and coughing, and I have been low on energy, way low. And so doing the, it's just enough for me to get in my, like for the first few days of last week, I was like, I don't even know if I can explain. I mean, I feel like being sick or having something down, you know, that's external. Like when you're healthy, you can do all these things and be very aware of them. But when you're not quite there, I was struggling
it's
with
hard
that.
To focus, for sure. For sure.
Any tips? Or
well, is this your first? Is this your first spring here?
Yes.
It's called Southland in the springtime.
Okay.
You're a foreigner, so we're attacking your body.
Yes.
No, seriously, go get some local honey. It's the only thing that's going to.
I've got it. Okay.
You do?
Yeah.
Get the raw can.
Yeah.
Raw local honey.
Yeah. Okay.
You have to start early. Though. You start like.
The American
November.
Boston Marathon for the first time since 1983.
Oh,
woohoo!
Cool.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Not a Kenyan.
They were a little motivated.
Yeah.
Okay, so I concur with that. You know, totally. When you're physically kind of depleted, it's hard to mentally get there.
I mean, I like read my stuff, but I was like, okay, I gotta focus on. I mean, I just kind of kept having to shift and to do certain things or try to even think about flow. I didn't have enough energy, I felt like.
And the other thing is, you're dealing with a lot of stuff that's going on for you personally.
Right, right.
You're heading into a whole different relationship. And we downplay the effect of that stuff on ourselves. We just kind of tend to go, oh, I'm cool. But it's any kind of change. Any kind of change is stressful.
Yeah.
Even if it's a positive change.
Right, okay. Because I was just feeling overwhelmed. And I thought, well, I mean, you probably never asked, what if you're sick? Like, how do you apply these things when you're real low on energy, I guess?
I've felt sick, and for example, doing the positive aspects process sometimes will help me even just...
See, that's what I did that one day, and I was like, okay, I'm here, I can work. And so I really focused on working, you know, and then...
Yeah, I mean, I would say, too, that sometimes, like for me, when I'm feeling really bad, sometimes I just have to say goodbye to productivity and rest, because it's like I can keep forcing it, keep pushing it, but it just keeps stretching it out. You know, it keeps lengthening the time when I'm not at my best.
Right.
You know, lengthening time when I don't feel up to speed. So sometimes you just have to reset and say, okay, I'm not going to get as much work done today, or I can sleep in a little bit more, but it's what my body needs, right? That's the only thing I can really recommend.
Okay. That's what
I've
I did. I mean, I just kind of followed my gut on it.
I've heard it called the rubber band principle. You shoot further if you pull back.
Yeah. No, that's so
true. I mean, not even in sickness, but like,
yeah.
If you just feel and pull back and rest, then you can shoot.
And that's what some of these, the section on focus, a lot about, and especially the section on rituals is about. We're going to get into that in a second, but the Tony Laird, their book is about basically you have to have rest and recovery periods in order to perform at your best. And so many people think of it as like a marathon. You know, our work is just constant work, 10-hour days, just go, go, go.
I'll write
it
down.
But it is the same absolute principle. You have to rest in order to be able to jump back into action. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, it's not original with me, so.
No, yeah. It's fine.
Okay.
But, you know,
it's good.
Though,
no, it's good.
It's good. It's a good visual.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
For sure.
I did realize on Friday that I got into the flow.
Yeah.
And it was really great. And then I needed more direction, so I had to get up and interrupt his flow to
yeah.
continue to get back into my flow.
Yeah.
So that is a big problem in our office. So.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to be talking. So
we're
going to
talk about that.
I messed up my flow.
I did.
For sure.
It was hot.
Did anyone do anything to remove outside distractions or realize that you have a lot of outside distractions?
Skimmy.
There's an awareness
no,
thing partly too, right? No?
There's a wild awareness of what we should be doing, but last week was not one to accomplish one.
Okay. But it helped you realize the awareness.
Yeah, I was fully aware I needed to be doing it, but
okay. Cool.
It was one of those weeks.
Cool, okay.
I work out of the house, and I have a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have some distractions, and
yeah.
sometimes it's not easy to minimize those things.
Yeah.
And I would try to do some things to get into flow and relax, and try to get focused and get to work, and then it's like, look at the kids in school! And I'm like, okay.
Oh.
That's awesome, really.
We have a shut
really.
Door rule at our house.
Yeah,
nobody crosses
but see, I don't have a separate room. I'm basically taking over the dining area. And
oh,
that,
yeah.
So it's not like I can go off somewhere. We don't have a lot of extra space, so I can't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just the formal dining area has become my office because it's just easier because we don't have a formal dining area.
Sometimes coffee shops work for me.
Yeah.
Personally, just
yeah, I mean,
some distractions there
trying to
too.
Get out, but a lot of the fact I've got everything there, and at this
yeah.
time I've just finished a mailing last week, so there's a lot of things that I need to have at hand.
Sure.
And
sure.
Showing up without a filing cabinet at the coffee shop is not a possibility. But
yeah, right.
And most of the time it's not much of an issue because I'm out.
Right.
Because I'm out going door to door and meeting the people and all that kind of stuff, so it's not as big a deal. But when I do have sit down stuff, it's challenging.
Do
but I clean my
you
desk.
Have nap time?
What's
is
that?
A nap time that you can like?
No,
be a
there's not. We don't have a nap timer. That'll be a real issue.
No, she meant your nap time. No.
I'm just saying. I think. Oh, lay them down. Then you can. You know, it's like your trigger to get into it.
We don't do nap timer. It's crazy bouncy 2-year-old at bedtime.
I wanted to ask you guys this. What are the ways that you distract yourselves during the day? Do you distract yourselves during the day? You stay pretty focused for the most part, or? I used to be really bad at it. I think you read my example probably in the book.
In the book, yeah.
Yeah. I actually had to take extreme measures to prevent that. And this is one of them, going off the smartphone because it was just too much data, constant access.
I told somebody that the other day,
yeah.
The T-Mobile store. Like, yeah, he was complaining about smartphone still. Like, buddy, mine just went back to a flip phone
yeah.
for that reason.
Yeah. I mean, it's and actually I'm happier and more productive, I think. So, I mean... Yeah, me personally, I realized that 90% of what I was using my phone for wasn't advancing my goals, wasn't moving me closer to my vision. It actually caused lower levels of stress to have, you know, be checking Facebook all the time or email. And I realized that I that whole willpower thing that, you know, willpower is a limited resource. When I was tired, especially, I would just be on my phone, and she would notice it. I'd I'd be working, and I'd just be on my computer checking Facebook, and you know, especially.
I'd be looking. I'm going. I'm typing, I'm going, what are you doing?<laughs>
And, you know, and
you can feel the person, you know, when they're not totally there.
Yeah.
But no problems now.
Well, I put a lot of steps in place to keep myself.
So you just put a lot of, like, this
barriers.
This,
barriers. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that when we talk about rituals, too.
Can you come back and talk to Matt about this next week?
Yes. We'll reiterate.
That kid is awful.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
That makes me think of a question that I thought of actually last week that
oh, good.
I forgot
okay.
to ask. You know, sometimes I need to do something mindless just to escape for a little while. And
yeah.
I know that for myself, Facebook is not it because
yeah.
I get in it, I get stuck in it,
yeah.
It drains away 2 hours of my
yeah.
day, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not a big Facebook user because I just get addicted.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't. But what are some mindless activities?
We're going to talk more about that
okay.
when we talk about managing energy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give you
online
some suggestions.
We'll just have that wonderful discussion.
Manage.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Okay.
That's one possibility.
I've never done it in 8 days. I'm like a changed person.
You learned to meditate in 8 days?
Well, I'm doing that
Chopra thing.
Cool. I'm going to talk a little
cool.
bit about that too if you're interested. You know, we can chat some more about that.
Is it awesome?
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is I wasn't doing my my daily grad. What is it? The
positive aspects list.
Right. I was having a hard time doing that. So then I said I'm going to do this challenge because I've never done meditation and my mom does it. Like I'm always like, but it's kind of like real basic and it's easy to do. I do it first thing in the morning and it's like you're constantly repeating that to yourself all day, so you're staying grounded to the message that you have that day. At least for me, I find myself like, like rehearse it. Mm. And it's like I'm right back to where I was when I was sitting there for 20 minutes or
yeah.
I think it's 19
cool.
minutes.
Just as a comment, I want to say, you know, Deepak comes from the words that he says to repeat are the Sanskrit words.
Right.
And if you're uncomfortable with that and you want to say, you know, Holy Spirit is inside of me, or God.
Well,
you can totally substitute anything for those words. All you're doing is cueing something that for you just gets you to that place. So I was noticing when I was listening, I was going, you know, some people might not like to say Lam.
Well, I'm not doing that. I'm actually, the message of the day, like today, is my life energy gives me the stability and... the structure and stability or security I need in my life. So, like, you think about that through your whole meditation while you do the Sanskrit, and sometimes I forget because there's three parts to it, and I'm like, you just do it mentally in your head the way they have the exercise, and then throughout the day I'll be thinking, like, my security lies within me, basically, is what you're saying to yourself all day. And so then the next day it's like, I'm the abundance of joy. And, like, you know, so every day you have, like, this other message that you've really focused on in the morning, and I just find myself thinking about it. I don't know. It's weird.
It's like laying down new neural tracks.
Right.
That's what meditation is. And there's lots of different ways to meditate. Mm-hmm. And I've even thought that I would like to create a product to teach people, because people think it's like, there's so many different ways to meditate, and you can find what fits you.
Right.
So, anyway.
Bill Murray and Caddyshack. That's not how it is.
So,
cool. So no one distracts themselves during the day. You guys are all good on that.
Oh yeah, perfect.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I had to take games and things off here because my iPad it became like my kids were playing on it.
Right.
So then if I had some downtime or I was sitting there waiting for somebody, I'd get on something. So I totally started taking them off, but I ended up with two more on here now. Of course, my son's like, "Can I have your iPad again?" So it's like, and then I'm like, "Well, let me help you because you don't understand it." And so now I'm just like, I've got to just go back to taking that stuff off, because you know what can turn into 15 minutes. You know, I want to look at one more day, I got one more, I have one more life. For me, I'll get into it, and I'll get sucked in. I got a real addiction problem, so I'll get sucked into these things, and I'll keep going. You know, I'm kidding. I got a real addiction problem, so I don't do. There's certain things I can't do or be around, because if I get into it too much, I'll be, you know, I'm a substitute. You know. Most people normally think of addictions for video games or for anything else. Running was a problem for me for a while. You know, that was too much of that. But it's just one of the things I have to kind of take those things off of it.
Go ahead.
I just made me think of another question. I'm sorry.
No, good.
Did any of you, I kind of get sucked into things like that too, like I was saying on Facebook earlier. Do any of you guys have like an app or something that you use that's a really good timer? I mean, just some kind of like timer, but... You know, not just the timer on your phone, or maybe the computer. What I was thinking when you were saying that is there a way you can put a parental control on it where it's a 15-minute time block? Or, you know, something like that.
Didn't you used to use something? Or?
Yeah, I did. I used to give myself, but I don't.
And it blocked you out of your computer at a certain point, right?
Yeah, it did. I don't have any more.
Let's see when we can all of us think about that.
I have a timer. I do have a timer that I use on my computer.
You do?
I can send you the name of it. It's specifically for this idea of sprinting and resting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can set the amount of time that you want to work, and you can change it each time. I do it like 60 or 75 minutes usually. And then you can set how much time you want to rest. And it basically just beeps at you and just kind of tells you when your time is up. And then for the resting time too, so you can set a 10-minute break period or 15-minute break period to recoup and do, you know, some of the things that the pace or some movements or different stretching or walking or whatever it is that you do to recoup.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll share that with you for sure.
I'll say this: I used to have an app like that, and I was religious about it. But since we started this class back, that broke me of distraction habits. Like,
mm-hmm.
I never check Facebook or anything else anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I feel like that's one area I'm good at. But so now I calendar my day out, which I did a great job this morning because I knew we were moving on that. But I calendar my day out pretty religiously to take 50-minute chunks.
Yeah.
And don't bother me during that, then I leave open time for other things, and that seems to be helping so far.
Good, good. You've been doing that recently, you're saying?
Yeah, no, since we started back a couple weeks ago, I started doing that. And the coolest thing I've done, and I don't know if this will help any of y'all, it may not, but I've got a little thing in my email signature. So, because all my clients are always, hey, when can you
schedule anything?
Yeah, and it's been awesome. So I'll just get a request, and they see my calendar, they book it, and I'm like, good, that eliminated five emails back and forth. Are you available, blah, blah.
There's tons of little tricks like that that you can figure out. You know, if you really think about how can I be more productive, how can I get into flow more and more, there's always a way to do it, you know, no matter what your environment or your situation is. And some of that will be brainstorming with maybe your accountability partner or, you know, with us. Just ask what do we recommend. So that's really helpful.
I do have one more. Look at Trello.com.
What's that?
Trello.com.
T-R-E-L-L-O. Okay.
We use that. That runs our whole business here.
Okay.
And because we have so many clients and tasks all over the place, it's just like, how do you keep up with it? So instead of having that stuff on our phone, it's not there. We don't have to-do lists or everything. We have cards. And that is the best management system I have ever seen for projects.
Yeah.
But it also, like a lot of that stuff, if it was on a to-do list, I'd be stressed out. But now that it's on Trello, I'm like, it's there. We'll get to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Never lets you forget and also lets you put like a deadline on there. So if you have a little drop dead date, you can put that on there, or any kind of deadline, you just want to get it done. It's really flexible, so it's
awesome.
How hard is it to get set up in it? That was the problem I've had. Like certain things are set up.
It's the easiest thing in the world. The reason I found out about it is some big company, they paid for invested in all these other management systems, and they're like, we found that Trello, which is free, is this most flexible, easy.
Yeah,
because if it's too complicated, you won't use it.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, that's it. If it's too complicated, then we won't use it.
It doesn't serve.
That's that old thing. You'll talk a little bit about that today things that are hard. The brain just goes.
Well, that's like my Salesforce. Yeah, it's great. There's so many other options to it. But at the end of the day, I can just put in my notes here and search my notes and find just everything I need instead of going into Salesforce and running through Salesforce.
Yeah.
Pay $65 a month.
Yeah, that's
it sounds expensive.
Yeah, it's just hard. Easier to do it on paper.
Would you also send an email with your signature on it so I could see what it says?
Mm-hmm. I just would you mind?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Does it happen anytime someone sends you an email? Is it an autoresponder?
No, I have it in my email signature.
Oh, so it comes back. Okay.
Yeah, and it's cool. The coolest thing is like it's habit. So the old people are still I'm like, hey, look at the link. But the new people I'm doing business with, they don't even say anything. It's just people.
They just
like,
this is nice.
It's awesome.
Send it to all of us, and I'll send you a reminder to do that.
Okay.
I'm putting all these things down.
What do you do if a sales guy sends you an email? You take that out of your signature?
Oh, no. I just refuse the booking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can always decline it. Right.
Because I've had that before. I'm like, no, thanks.
Yeah, I was wondering how that worked.
Cool. How many of you guys used the checklist for flow during the last week? Just kind of, was it helpful? Those of you who used it?
As best as I can make it.
You loved it? Okay. How did you use it? Just
especially last week, I had like two or three different big projects I was kind of working on, or big client meetings maybe that I had to prepare for. So when I got my thoughts together, I went through was ready to work on the project. I sat down, I went through the flow checklist, I did the paste stuff before I started working on it. I set a timer, so I was only working on, I set a 30-minute timer, so I'd know, kind of track my progress, how far have I gotten in the last 30 minutes, and then when to take breaks, and it really, really helped.
Yeah.
I shut my door so that, there's an office, and no one would come in and distract me. Mm-hmm. That is one great thing about my office, is we keep our doors open all the time, and we're just walking around, talking. But when someone shuts their door, we know they're working on something.
That's good.
So
that's good.
It was really great and very helpful.
Good. Cool.
I think it'll be good for me, although this week was, there was only one thing to do, was to just move stuff. So
it was an unusual week.
I think that'll be good, but I to some degree do that, starting off in the day anyway. Okay, there we go.
Yeah.
So.
It's kind of like it's an awareness thing. It's something that you might use for a week or two, and then realize that in your brain you're kind of using the checklist within your own brain too. That we don't actually follow the checklist ourselves because we're pretty, we've gotten into the habit of saying,
how's our body doing? You know, are we good on water? Do we? What is our intention? And we've gotten, even in the past couple of weeks, a lot more specific about that. What exactly do we want to do in this chunk of time? Because something that alone limits distractions in a lot of ways, because we're very clear that we want to be at this point. You know, in the next hour and 15 minutes, we're specific. We want to have mapped this out. We want to have finished this outline. We want to have done this. Whatever it is we're working on. So the more specific, and how do you want it to go too? How do you want, in other words, play that little tape in your mind saying, how do I want to work during this time? Do I want to be focused and just totally zoned in? And that the time limit there really helps in a lot of ways too, because you know, I'm just working until this thing goes off or until this time is up, and then I can rest, instead of that marathon thing, which is exhausting, like when I have to go through the whole day, you know, like that. So just some recommendations. Cool. Do you want to talk about the one-page productivity sheet? Yes. Did anyone use that? The one-page productivity sheet?
We threw these at you quickly, and we didn't really talk about this.
Oh, the productivity planner?
Yeah.
Brandon Ellis thought to use it.
It's right. And I've got extras here if you want to look
at it. It's on the resource page, too, so you can print it off if you ever want.
Oh, I'll get it.
It's kind of hard for, well, not, some parts of it you can use in sales.
Yeah.
The parts of it you can't, like, things are in the process. Oh, I'm turning an order. I'm working on this PO. I got to get this quote out. So you don't necessarily know when things are coming in. So it's a little bit harder to plan on that side. But, like, who you need to reach out. That kind of stuff I need to do better at anyway. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I think we're going to create our own and kind of take the best of this with a flow. And but this is like all of you have, and the Trello helps you manage all this.
The projects.
And you guys are paperless. So you don't need this. But if you're not paperless and you've got lots of different things going on, that's what I liked about this, because we have like two or three major things that we're working on, and we just have to schedule it. And I like that, just putting it down. And then that kind of goes, well, who do I need to talk to? We kind of do this for the week. We do this for the week. We plan for this week, what do we need, instead of daily. And it might be helpful. This might be too much to do every day. And then it's like, we know, based upon that week, who we need to get in touch with and people that we're waiting on. We've emailed them, you know, and they haven't gotten back to us or whatever. And then when you get to the main things I must complete today, then you switch over to your flow thing.
The main purpose of this sheet is basically to get into your own world before you get into other people's world. And if you see the quote at the bottom, talks about, you don't go to your inbox thinking, what kind of crisis do I need to respond to? Because then you'll be in reaction mode kind of like the rest of the day. Go into your inbox, and first thing, once you fill this out, that's what Brendan, is kind of our mentor, recommends. Once you fill this out, then use your email to reach out to the people who, in other words, get into their worlds first for your priorities before you start dealing with other things that are their priorities. Some of it is...
I'm the opposite, though.
Yeah, well, some of it depends on... Yeah.
Yeah, I check my email first thing to make sure that there aren't any fires I need to help him with.
Right.
And then go from there, so
some of that depends on your job title and everything, too.
It's kind of the opposite for me.
Well, I'm kind of that way, too. I just try to get all the clutter cleared out. So you're saying I should just leave the clutter.
Mm-hmm. Deal with the clutter when you've already dealt with the stuff that you know is the most important. In other words, what's that thing that Stephen Covey talks about, that the urgent taking place instead of the important?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah.
And that's the problem, is when we were dealing with other people's sort of agendas early on, especially, really, this allows us to get the things that we know are going to move our business forward. We know big picture are more important than their... Now, granted, sometimes there is an emergency and there is an absolute crisis that you have to deal with, but... You know, you can scan really quickly to see if that crisis is there based on, like, the subject line, even possibly. Or,
I love it because now I'm on the East Coast, so I'm up pretty much before most people in my company and anywhere else. So I'm, like, firing off any follow-ups, anything that I have to do, things that the office has to do so that they have it when they get in. And if they're not thinking like me, that's all behind me. Then I can react and do what I need to do with my clients,
Our problem, though, is we deal with clients, so our job is to cater to their whim. That's not a way of saying it, but it kind of is.
Well, it is, but you got to find that balance, right? You just got to find, because you can't serve all of your clients well if you know, in other words, if you get pulled off track on their particular whim.
Yeah, that's
your picture, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, Matt actually sends out an onboarding document. He makes that. He goes, if you're interrupting us, what if other clients interrupted us during your time?
Exactly.
So,
I mean, you find the balance, right? And so it might be that, you know, and this is also for you guys, a particular team type of ritual that you need to work out, but it could be that the morning is your flow time. You know, and I really think that having that productive period in the morning sets the tone for the rest of the day. It gets your priorities your straight in terms of what you need to actually work on. Your morning is your flow time, and then maybe at lunch, you check those emails and see what kind of crisis. Because if someone sends you something at 9 in the morning and you get back to them within 3 hours, that's pretty good service. I mean, they can't expect 15 minutes. You know, like that's. I mean, that's we do expect that in the digital age, but for productivity, it kills you. Kills you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're getting back to them within the same day, helping deal with their challenge, I feel like that's pretty good. That's still good service, you know. With the bigger picture in mind, that you're working on what helps them the most too during those flow hours too. So that's just my suggestion, recommendation. It's always easier said than done sometimes.
You know, I found this. The worksheet stuff, what, 82 and 83,
yeah.
Good for me to do, and I did them this morning, so y'all think I was way on top of things, because I wasn't. But anyway, I did them this morning, because I ended up moving my office into where I have my store now, and that's really neat, except it's also the storeroom, and I can't close the door. Well, no, I can't close the door. Somebody else might could. I get claustrophobic.
Oh, I see.
And no wonderful windows. There's nothing in there.
Sure.
And so this helped me go ahead and write down, this is what I need to have happen in this room
right, for
me to be able to do
sure.
the flow. But what the other thing I realized that I had done backwards and didn't realize I had done it was that the flow, I found out that I'm disrupted so much time during the daytime, just, you know, customers coming in and out, and I haven't quite figured out how to stop them just because they are buying customers at that moment, you know.
Right.
And then other things but I wrote all that down, was that I get up earlier in the morning and I get to work early before, so like you do, and try to get my gotta do this done before it opens up at 10 o'clock and people start coming in and disrupting me.
Right.
Because with the store like it is, an artist will show up with work, and of course I say thank you, because it means I didn't have to go travel to get it.
Right.
But they don't like to call; they just show up.
Right.
And all of that. There's a lot of show up in my business, and it's very disruptive.
Yeah.
But it means I started looking at this. This sheet helped me think. Well, could I give more a responsibility to the girls that work with me?
Yeah.
And people who come and ask for donation, all that kind of stuff that goes on, that
exactly.
It's all my saboteurs. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
You know.
We haven't even talked
about
it.
Yeah, see, that was so funny, because I could look at it and I thought, yeah, well, that sure need to please everybody, you idiot.
Yeah.
And if we let loose of some of that, then, you know, you wouldn't be so stressed about it. And if I'm sitting back in my room saying, oh, Lord, I just had to turn them down. They were such nice people. You just go into a whole little scenario with them. And if somebody else had already known that, we didn't, no more donations this month, you know, or we're at our limit right now. Thank you so much. And give them a little program to say, I wouldn't have to go through the trauma that I put myself through.
Yeah.
So it's just little things like that.
Thank
this has been
too,
very
yeah.
helpful for,
good.
But I have not put it into working because I was too busy using everything that I wasn't supposed to last week. So it was, I have to tell you, we had, that was, last week was first a doctor's appointment, which I'm not good with at all. And then second of all was getting ready for Southland Jubilee, which is a huge festival in Greensboro. And as things were falling apart, I wasn't doing the festival, but the store does a huge amount of stuff for the festival outside and all that kind of stuff. And of course, then the rain set in. So then we had to totally regroup and redo the store inside to bring all the artists we had demonstrating inside the store. And meanwhile, things are just falling apart. And I said, I'm supposed to be Friday Peace. And then my children were all coming in on Friday night, and I had begged them not to do the festival.
Yeah.
You know, when all my kids, please don't do this. My kids come home. I want to see my kids. So it was all the trauma that I put myself through. But everything lived through it, even with rain and things. And by Monday morning, I could think again and say, okay, we lived through that. Now let's get back to what we're supposed to do.
Right.
But this sheet was extremely helpful because I was in a good place to say, okay, you did this, this, and this wrong, and you got to straighten some of this stuff out.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to put myself through another week like last week.
Yeah.
And I love your awareness, because we were going to get into awareness. When we start talking about non-productive habits, our saboteurs go in there, and they kind of diddle around and mess it up for us. And we want to get you more aware about saboteurs.
And you brought up a good point that a lot of this, especially the focus stuff, is retraining not just ourselves, but retraining other people and resetting their expectations for how they interact with us, only just so we can be more, you know, more productive and so we can work on the stuff that really excites and really makes us passionate too and about in terms of building our business. So it's tricky. It is tricky. And sometimes it takes experimenting with what works the best. But it's really about putting the barriers in place for the outside distractions as much as possible. And barriers sounds like a really strong negative word, but it really is. Like, how can you keep people...
Boundaries,
yeah. Barriers, you know, things that keep the, you know, the people who just show up and interrupt your flow and, you know, at an inconvenient time, how can you put those, keep them at arm's length and the stuff you really want to do, make it really easy to do, make it really easy to focus, make it really easy to get that stuff done, so.
I just need to tell one thing, though, if y'all got a second, that they've always taught us to put it out there and get your brain thinking towards it and stuff like that, so I've been doing the tour bus thing in my brain, and we need a tour bus. Tour bus is going to start coming to my store, you know, and we've got all this stuff going to, of course, you got to put the stuff in place first, but that's a, skip that and go to the tour bus. But I had been at a meeting, the meeting had run a little long, and I wasn't worried because I had somebody at my store working and knew she had it open, so I was casually coming down the street from about two blocks and just enjoying looking at everything like that. I looked down, there's a bus beside the store, and I said, oh, neat, there's a bus in town today. I wonder where those people are. And so I sat there, got the red light, and I came on across. I kept looking around town and stuff, and I got to my door, and I couldn't get in my door. They were in our store.
That's so cool.
And I went, oh, action, Cynthia, and I'm ready to throw myself down. And they were lined up buying things, and it was like, wait a minute, we're not ready for this part of it yet. We're not ready.
That's so good.
Well, that's what you're visualizing, because it will come fast.
I'm going to step back one more and get some other stuff in order for you. Again.
Because it can happen really fast.
Like, kind of like this place.
when you kind of let go of your resistance to it, and you really, really get clear on what you want, and you and you work on yourself, it can come so fast. You're going, whoa, wait a minute.
Slow down.
The girls asked me to slow down just a little bit. I'm like,
you are powerful manifestor there. We need to go. But I really like.
Sorry,
no, I love the discussion, and I love to hear how you guys are applying it. Are you clear? Did everybody here take their saboteurs, and we discussed them last week? It was only just I know Matt hadn't done it, and some other people.
Others, yeah.
Are you guys getting those, and you're kind of living with those, and are you starting to see?
Understanding kind of. Like
under we're going to have some more application with that, but just checking in with you. Mm-hmm. I don't want it to be just an intellectual exercise. I love it when I go, oh, Nita, there's your saboteur coming up right there, you know. But it takes a little while sometimes to apply that. Just a quick question over the under-focus and over-focus state that we had a comment for somebody on our survey that asking understanding that a little bit more. And I just was checking if you guys need any further explanations. Page 73. Ooh,
yeah,
we need to move. Anybody have anything that we need to go over there?
They're pretty clear.
It's clear because we gave you behavioral and mental characteristics of what's happening. Okay. Good. So let's just.
I think I was the one who probably put that.
Yeah.
And I was just. It would have been neat to have more time on that.
Yes.
Focus and unfocus. I mean, I understand it, but it just.
When you meditate, you realize how much is going on in your mind.
Yeah.
I guess I really learned that this last week. I was like, to turn it off because they keep telling you, you know, to do your thing every time you have a different thought or a sound or something. I mean, just amazing how much goes on in your head.
So
when you're trying to be still and quiet, yeah, it's pretty cool.
I woke up early anyway, but I woke up a ridiculous.
ridiculously early on Saturday morning because of that.
Because of all the brain.
So much so.
Right.
I got to get up and going on.
Yeah. And I will be happy to chat some more with you about that.
Yeah.
Because this is a really cool concept, and we all have a tendency to do one or the other, and it's related to our brain profiles. And we're not going to have time in this class to go through that, but, you know, would that be okay?
Sure.
Yeah. Just a little bit. We're going to talk about the new paradigm, which is energy management rather than time management. Okay. And so what we're going to do is a little cool experiment, and I need a glass to put some water in
there.
Oh, no, we're going to stick our finger in there. Oh, no, just give us a glass of water.
Like a...
Oh,
okay.
So we're going to stand up and come over here and just form a little circle. This is a science experiment. I think anybody in here has seen it. Mike and Matt have seen it. But I want to prove to you how your body is an energy system. So we're going to come over here and you're going to... It's the only time I'm going to ask you to hold hands. Because we're going to form a circuit. You know, we're a circuit. We'll get my back in here.
And your other
hand
is
holding. I mean,
my
hand
has to be nice.
My hand will get your
other hand. Oh, man. Living in the rain.
Yeah.
Oh my God, look at
it's
that.
It's a wine glass.
Oh, I love that. So, I have a little what's called an energy ball here, okay? So, I'm showing you that the electricity in my body, I put it here and I put it here, and it lights up this little ball, okay? And I'm going to put it right over here, so we'll switch this around. You're going to hold it with one hand and put it, and then you're just going to touch that, but do not touch your body. And then y'all connect your hands.
Oh, we're all supposed to be.
All connect your hands because electricity flows to your body. So, ready? Okay, you've probably seen that in science class, right? Put your phone there. And now, Deanne, you drop your hands, and Scott. Okay, you see? There's energy in our body, and it flows through. And it's going through your body now to light up that little ball.
Dude, that's cool.
That is so cool.
So you remember when you went like this to your mom on the carpets and you would touch her and she'd go, wow, you shocked me. We're an energetic system and we just forget how much our system is energy. Now, and the reason, one way I show people how to use the connect back up again.
I
would
have
to put one finger in the water. You're putting one finger in the water and then you're going to connect.
No, like oh, no, not electrical.
Okay, go.
Why
don't
we shock?
No,
we don't get shocked. No, because I won't have to go.
I would never do anything.
I did that this weekend.
Okay, so see, just electricity in the water, that's why I say you need water. Your body's electrical, your brain's electrical, you need water to get those messages transferred. So you take your hand out. Right, pretty cool, right?
That is nuts.
That's crazy.
Isn't
that crazy?
So
where do you get a bottle like that? That makes you a toilet.
Yeah, literally, you can buy them online. They're called energy balls, whatever.
UFO
balls. That's crazy. But if you guys, if you want it, you can stand there if you want. Because I'm going to demonstrate some things with you now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because there's things that bring your energy up and things that bring your energy down, right? Okay, so you might not know that sometimes, how you're feeling. But I do something where I actually check the muscle on somebody's arm to find out
energy testing.
It's called energy testing. Sports kinesiologists sometimes use this. Because remember those neuropeptide cells that are all over your body, so that your brain's all over your body. So you may have a thought up here or a feeling, and you don't know how that what that's doing to your whole body. It might bring your whole body down. Okay, so I'm just going to get a volunteer. Anybody that wants to. Okay, you have a watch on your hand, and so you're hydrated.
Yes.
And so I usually this is the anterior deltoid muscle, and if you want to move over there,
I can't see.
No, you're good. So I'm going to get kind of in front of her, but
normally I do this in my private practice when I have somebody that comes in for something, you know. I don't do that much anymore, but just say yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
And give me a strong muscle there, okay? Yeah. So you don't have to go rigid, but just like, yes, yes, yes. And now say no, no, no.
No, no, no.
And did you feel the difference?
Yes.
Say yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
See, your body's reacting to positive with a strong muscle. And if you say negative.
No, no, no.
And say my name is Sarah.
My name is Sarah.
Now my name is Deanne.
My name is Deanne.
Do you see?
I'm lying.
Yeah. You're lying. I mean,
your body. What did it do?
Sorry?
What did it do?
I'll show you.
Okay.
You know, cool. Your body will tell you stuff that your brain, your mind doesn't know. In other words, your mind will say, oh, yeah, I really feel this way. But if you check with your body, it totally, your body never lies because of those neuropeptide cells. Okay, so think of something really stressful, Dan.
Sarah.
Oh, I need a little.
Check
I
your arm.
A little,
hang on.
I need a little.
Hang on. Let me give you your arm.
Yeah. So, well, so think of something stressful. Okay. Okay. Now, I'm going to push hard. I want you to try to keep your arm up. You got it? Mm-hmm. Try. Now, I could even do a really strong man like you guys, and they won't be able to hold their arm up. Okay, did you feel that?
Yes.
Now, think of somebody you love. Think of somebody you love. You got it?
Got it.
Okay, boom. I can't even bring her arm down. I am really pushing. Okay?
That's cool.
So, positive, negative emotions and negative thoughts bring your energy down. Right. Really big time. Even though in your head you're going, I should feel this way, I should love this person, I should, you know, whatever. Your body is telling you, no. My energy's down.
Does anyone
down,
else want to experience that? Because it's one thing to see it.
Yeah. So give me your arm, and this will change the pattern. You'll take your watch off. So, yeah. So, Cynthia, just say, my name is Cynthia.
My name is Cynthia.
Say, my name is Scott.
You do
my name is Scott.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I do it too. Oh.
I'm dark. Yes. Do you feel that?
Yes.
So think about the stress when you have all that stuff happening this weekend and everything. Are you there?
Yeah.
You're not there? So you see how weak your arm went?
Yeah.
You just can't even hold it up. Now think of somebody you love. It's the easiest way to think of something positive.
I usually do.
You got it? Oh, look at that smile. I am really trying.
That's my children.
Yeah, I'm really trying to get her arm down, and it's strong. Got it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so cool.
It's cool because all I'm going to ask you to do now is we're energetic beings, and there are people that bring us down, like negative people. You know, you might be around them, and you just go, God, I don't know why I feel so tired after I'm with them, right? If you were to sure. Muscle check yourself, and if you get really interested in this, I'll show you how to do it for yourself. But that's why you get that low energy sometimes. That's why stress brings you down. It's happening to your whole body. It's happening to your entire body. And so
that's why you want to put barriers in the way of all those negative things.
That's why you want to really protect your energy, because right. That's all you've got, your energy. So that's what we're going to talk about, building that energy up, right? There's a lot of other cool stuff if you get interested, I can show you. But any questions about that?
Oh, that's good.
That's really cool.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Okay. So remember the stuff about the heart, the people that are really centered and calm and loving, you know how good you feel? Your whole body's reacting to them. Your whole energy field, or whatever that energy is, this spirit that we have inside of us, mm-hmm. is awake and alive. And then you're around people that, you walk away, you go, I'm so tired from that interaction. Well, yeah, your whole body just went into a negative kind of downshift. I call it downshifting and upshifting. We just need
energy
to
energy vampires too.
Yes, they're energy vampires.
We had one of those.
Well, and working with your dog, I have my dog at work all the time. It's amazing how much they make a difference in your.
They
positive.
Bring up your animals, small children, even though they might focus you. They're always in the moment and wonderful energy. So cool. Thank you.
She heard it.
She felt it.
So.
Oh,
she just came. She just came right after we talked about animals. She came to the door like, hey.
So let's talk about things, leisure time. You were saying, how are some mind, what are things? This is a very interesting thing to meet him. That we learn. Let me just talk about an energy drain, TV. The average American, this is average, watches 4 hours of television.
A day. What?
The average. Which, if you add this up over time, over their like working years, is 13 years of lost time. 13 years of lost time. Now, there are leisure activities that bring your energy up and leisure activities that bring your your energy down. TV, for 20 minutes or so, you're engaged. And then there's studies that show your whole energetic body just gets, it's passive.
But isn't there a time and place for it, though?
Yes.
TV?
Right before I go to bed, I watch my show, and I'm out.
Yes. There is. I watch a little, and I'm very careful about what I watch.
Yeah.
And I do it only when I just totally want to go into, I just don't want to think, I don't want to improve myself anymore. I'm done. I'm like, okay, just give me something to watch. But I'm just giving you the typical stuff that's happening. People really, it's a suck. TV's a suck away.
I watched Hunter play video games this weekend.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, are we going to do anything else today? And he's like, well, I'm almost done, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's getting through his level or whatever. So I went outside to, like, enjoy the sunshine because it was actually out.
Right.
We had totally different days.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I was inside in the darkness of horror, and then it was like, yay!
Right. You know, just be aware of that.
Crazy.
Notice that. Notice your energy, and, you know, reading is actually a very active thing for your brain. Like, if you read a book that's just for fun, not for self-improvement,
mm-hmm.
is really, in a way, your energy level stays more constant than TV. Just for fun reading, because TV just kind of drains you. You know, if we hooked you up to electrodes and everything, you go into this zone. It's not the zone of flow. You go into this like empty wasteland, really, when
yeah.
you're watching TV. So,
and the side note too, screens right before you go to bed, you tend to. TV's not as bad, but computer screens, iPad screens, that kind of stuff. Within an hour or two before you go to bed, it makes it really hard to go to sleep, actually, because it changes the chemistry of your brain and the brain
really?
Waves of your brain. Yeah.
Okay.
That's just something that I've had to put in place as a rule for myself to get good sleep, is that after 8 p.m., I don't look at screens. I can't look at screens. If I do, it's like I really have a hard time shutting down, shutting off my mind. So that's for people who are constantly connected and on the computer, that's something you might want to consider.
Yeah.
Putting that as a rule.
Just
want
you just go right into
the
rituals.
Okay. Huh. Cool. So you guys all read, I think, the section on rituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need rituals? What was it that you guys got from that? That we need rituals?
To keep our energy up.
Keep
yeah.
our energy up, right? Yeah, 95%, around 90 to 95% of our behavior is either based on our habits, sort of the way our brain is wired to behave throughout the day, or in response to some outside emotional stimulus. So it's the things that we're reacting to during our day. That means that we have about 5 to 10% of our behavior as us consciously saying, I'm going to do this now, and being kind of consciously in the moment, and does that kind of make sense? Doing the things that we know we need to do to move ourselves forward. So the rituals are really key because they are, let's see, I want to read the definition. Precise, consciously acquired behaviors that become automatic in our life, fueled by a deep sense of purpose. Right? So they're the things that we put in place to not just drain our energy, but to actively fuel our energy in one of the areas that we've talked about kind of throughout this training too. And if you remember kind of the elephant and the rider metaphor, so rituals kind of keep your elephant in check. They're your way of guiding your elephant with using your conscious mind, using your rider, guiding in a certain direction.
Because otherwise, then it just kind of does whatever it wants to do. For me, especially about time. I want to mention, for those of you who have teams too, that rituals are really, really, really especially important for teams too, because we have sort of habitual ways that we work together. And just like inside of a person, some of the ways that we work are not that effective. Inside of a team, some of the ways that we habitually work, just they kind of drain our energy, or they make us lose focus, or you know they make us feel a little bit more negative after some of our meetings maybe. So rituals are really key to put in place, and we'll give you some ideas on that if you guys want some towards the end here. Cool. Just want to ask, what are some positive things now that you do kind of throughout the day to keep your energy up or to help kind of fuel your momentum? What are some things that have become habit for you guys?
I started working out a bunch because I can.
Okay.
I do T25. I love it. It's 25 minutes. I can still have half a lunch, but I work out like 25 minutes. It's focused, hardcore. Then I eat my lunch and zone out, watch TV. But that's my lunch. And then in the mornings, before I moved, I have a whole project management team that works with production back in Tulsa. So we started our rituals then to practice. So now we continue to do them. So between 9 and 10, my project manager will call. We'll go over all my jobs, where they're at, anything that we've got coming down. And so I expect that call, but I still have an hour and a half typically in the morning to do what I do. And then I introduce the meditation this week. So,
cool. So you got some
that's like first thing. Here. Then I have my meetings. Then I do my workout. And
exercise, we could have mentioned this under the focus rituals, but exercise is a really good focus ritual too, because there's a whole book about the benefits of that and on focus, on preventing all sorts of, you guys, I'm sure you've heard some of the research preventing Alzheimer's, long-term memory. It really boosts, I think a section of 15 to 20 minutes of exercise boosts your brain for up to 12 hours after
it's
that.
It's crazy. I used to be the I used to be the 3 o'clock crasher.
Yeah.
I mean, we all had it, do it maybe now. When I work out at lunch and I'm done, I mean, the rest of the day, I'm having a very productive afternoon, which I used to not.
So that's good. Does anyone else have some rituals or some things that you do, just even unconsciously sometimes, to help you, be more positive?
I make sure that I eat and I sleep and I exercise.
Okay.
Those three things, and I can pretty much, anything that comes along, I can think back and about 4 years ago, a time in my life, it was just hell. I mean, I was just hanging on. And it was the things I did were, I made sure I got at least 7 hours of sleep every night. I worked out every day, and I ate good food, good healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
And then I read my Bible. I mean, those were things that got me through. And I really, the eating, the sleeping, and the working out, kept my mind, it kept me healthy, it kept me positive, it kept me every day. But those were the things that, got me through life.
Yeah.
So I still do that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Sleeping is so important for everything. For focus, for positivity. When I have a rough night of sleep, it throws off the entire rest of my week sometimes because I'm playing catch up, And, when we're in deficit, sometimes we think, well, we'll sleep more later on. Usually that doesn't work. Usually you don't get that sleep.
And actually the research is showing it's one of the number one, it's almost the number one problem that people are having.
Lack of sleep. So you might, if you have that problem, you might be putting rituals in place so that you can get good sleep at night, which includes disconnecting at least an hour before you go to bed. And you kind of have to...
Probably sooner.
2 hours.
The brainwaves change. It takes a while for you to get back into less of that high beta brainwave,
right,
which is going to keep you awake all the time.
What do you suggest for night owls? I mean, I'm forced to be a morning person just because of kids.
Your biomarkers are really at night.
But I'm really at night. I mean, I could work and get into the zone a lot easier at night if I let myself work at night.
Yeah.
But I don't. Like, when the kids get in bed by 8:30-ish, 9, from 9 to 10, I am still on my feet doing stuff around the house. And then from 10 to 11 is my time to watch a show and be mindless,
right,
usually. I mean, I try not to be on the computer or anything, being in the kitchen or anything after that. So... But
then
11, I want to go to bed. I want to go to bed and be in bed. But I usually 11:30-ish, sometimes 12 before I get to bed. I'm still getting 7 hours.
Before you get to sleep or before you get to bed?
I'm sorry, before I get to sleep, yeah.
So you try to go to bed earlier, but you just can't sleep?
Mm-hmm. Don't go to bed unless you're sleepy. Don't lie in bed.
I have a process. that I can walk through what I do to help me get to sleep.
Because I do EFT. I know y'all have that in here. I do some of that. I do a little meditation sometimes too, but that's really about it.
I can share with something later on too. That's something that I use. Anybody who's interested after the session.
That's a pretty cool process.
That's a cool process that I came across because my sleep was so bad that I had to find a solution for it. I mean, I would like have some nights where I would get 4 or 5 hours because I could not shut my mind off. Like I literally, and most of the case I was because I was working until really late, and then I thought I could just go straight from that really like 95 miles an hour working to just sleep and. That doesn't work, you know. It's just, and usually when we have bumped up nights of sleep, it's because our mind is nattering on all those details that we've got to do for the next day, or worrying about something in the future, or even for me, when I get really excited and have a lot of positive momentum going, is sometimes when I have my worst sleep, ironically, because I'm like, you know, and then I'm like, oh, all this growth will mean this and this, and you know, but all that doesn't help you get to sleep. So I'll share with you something too later on.
I think college gets you into night owlish too. Mm-hmm. At least it did for me. I mean, night owl, all the partying's done, or all the whatever's going on. Now I'll go, since there's nothing else to do, I'll go study. But in order to do those sleeps, I had to more sleep, exercise, eat, all that's a ritual, but I actually had to do a ritual before I went to bed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Practice these things. That way my body, even like when I travel, which in the job I had before this, I do a lot of traveling in a hotel. I didn't even touch the bed till it was time to close my eyes and go to sleep. So if I watch TV, I mean, I'd pull the chair out and sit in the chair and watch TV or do whatever I want to do. But as soon as I didn't even lay on the bed, I didn't sit on it, didn't touch the bed till I was ready to go to bed. And at that time, my body knew when you hit the bed, you go to sleep.
Right.
And so, I've never really had a problem doing that, but part of that may be because I do a ritual. I mean, mentally.
I do the same thing. This process that I do is a ritual that if I don't do it, even on the weekends, it's like my sleep is affected badly. So, sometimes it takes experimenting with what works best for you. But general rules, just, try to give yourself time to, like, cool down, I guess. Like, they say, like, in a workout, where after a run, you're not supposed to just stop. You're not supposed to just stop and stretch. You want to give yourself some time to just start walking and slowing down the pace. And that's kind of the same for sleep, too. You don't really want to go 95 miles an hour to stopping all at once, because your mind hasn't gotten that transition period where it can rest and kind of calm down from that pace. Does that make sense? And for us night owls, I'm a night owl too, it's even more difficult because our biorhythms are like, I still want to be awake. Mm-hmm. So you have to do something to offset that.
Force yourself, yeah.
Right. Cool. Let's see. Let's look at this chart. There's the three areas, right? The three areas that we've talked about. On page 90. So vision, emotion, and focus. And I just want you to ask yourself, and we're going to take maybe 5 minutes to do partner share. I think we have time. It's 1:15.
Yeah, or unless if it's a small group, people feel comfortable just sharing here. We'll see.
What is the one area of those between vision, emotion, and focus that you feel like you're kind of bleeding energy a little bit, or that, you just want to boost in? You feel like it would help you the most to get a boost in one of those three areas.
In other words, you need to increase your focus, and you're losing energy there. You need to increase your positivity, because you've got some times where you kind of dip down into that, that negativity stuff, and that's all of us go there. And vision, hopefully by now you've created a vision, and we'll talk a little bit about how to keep that uppermost in your mind. So which of those three areas, just one, we're just tackling one. We're not going to don't ever try to change everything. Just one that you get more bang for your buck to create a ritual or something around that area.
Focus.
Yeah. Focus,
when they say focus. You mean, what are we lacking in?
Yeah, something that you need. Which one of those three areas do you need?
Would benefit you the most.
That you're going to create a ritual.
I think mine's emotion.
Emotion. Okay.
And I don't know if it's necessarily the positive versus negative, mine sometimes being emotionless, not being aware of how I'm feeling. Because I'm focused and I'm going, but I'm not in touch with like how I'm feeling as it's happening. So I think that's really where I'm trying to tackle that.
Interesting, okay, cool. And so what are some, can you think of some specific things that you do, like we call them non-productive actions, the non-productive behaviors that kind of fuel that, either the negative result, does that make sense? Like, for me it was picking up my phone It was the focus for me. It was picking up my phone first thing in the morning and checking Facebook, checking email. Like, that was a trigger behavior for me to not have focus throughout the rest of the day. So is there anything like that that you can think of that kind of was like a non-productive action for you? And you don't have to answer it right this second, because you'll
think
be doing
about
this in the
Are you going to talk about Keystone Habit? It's a habit.
Yeah, we're going to jump into that in a second. Does anyone have any thought, anything?
I think mine was trying to, and I've learned from this group, is that you don't do it. It's multitasking.
Yes.
Doing several different things. I'll start something, and then something comes up, and stop with that there. And it's a lesson. I learned it. You know, it's the way I actually work. But I learned it's not the good way to, from y'all. But I do multitask. So that would be, that's not focus.
That's just
helter-skelter, isn't it?
Yeah, she didn't talk about that last time during focus, but the research is showing that you literally cannot multitask in the way we think of it. Like, when you're processing two or three different things at once, yeah, you're doing them, but your brain is not as efficient as and effective as if you were just to do one. So you're kind of bleeding energy. In other words, if you just did one of those things for 45 minutes, you would do it way faster, you know, pace way faster than if you try to do three things at once.
For me, like, I do a lot in one day, but I can't stand not finishing something.
Yeah.
So if I've started it and I get distracted or get a phone call, like, it's just like boiling right here. And until this call is over, I can't wait to get it done. And it's like, I'm like the check mark girl. I'm like, that's done, that's done. I mean, that's how I do things. So it drives me nuts. I don't know. If making a list, sometimes I'll have a list, and then when I get that call, there's three more things I got to do, and I just keep adding them, so I keep on my check marks. I mean, for me, that works.
Because
you can start getting, like, crazy, but for me, I'm like, if I don't get it done, it just drives me nuts.
I think the flow checklist is a good resource there, too, because if you really set an intention for what you want to get done, multitasking sometimes happens by default when we distract ourselves because we're not 100% clear about what we want to get done and we don't have that picture in our mind. So that might be kind of a resource that you can use to help yourself out.
It's a good ritual just even to say, what do I want to get done in this segment of time? Because I'm very much like you. I have like 12 windows open on my computer and I'm like, well, we'll go check that out.
Yeah.
I got 2 minutes. I've got 2 minutes here, so let me go over here. And I'll start that, and then it's like, I think I'm being very productive, but really not. So
cool. Any other?
That's exactly how I keep opening it up. Like, ooh, let's see if there's any Harley Sportsters for sale used. Like, I'm buying one right now or anything.
But
then
what
I'll just follow this around. I'll read an article, and I'll be looking at something else, and that'll take me to something else. And
well,
it's
average,
like, I just chase this little.
The average distraction puts us off the task that we started around 15 minutes, 15 to 25 minutes. So every time we distract ourselves, especially online, it usually takes us about 15 minutes to get back on task with what we're doing, minimum. So, I realized that. I think we mentioned that when you check your email first thing, it was like around 30% less productive throughout the week. For me, it was probably around 75%, like no joke, that it was that strong.
Why is that? Just because it just derails you from your planning? Or?
Yeah, I think for me it was that I was in a mindset of consuming information. And so anytime instead of being in a mindset of producing and getting things done, and so anytime I started producing and started getting work done, I'd be like, it would kind of open these loops in my mind. Like, oh, well, let me check that now. You know, like, well, let me check the Braves score. I think I saw something about that last night. And it was just like, I just distracted myself so easily doing that kind of thing. So, and everyone's different. You know, everyone's different for how they do it. But.
Well, I think for that you start off being really reactive.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Instead of going, here's my plan, I'm going to be proactive on this plan.
Right.
You check your email and you're like, oh.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you check the email before you even started your plan for the day.
That's exactly what happens.
That's
a
big
problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Get your plan. Because what you're doing out there is you're handling other people's agendas.
Yeah.
Right.
You're not starting with yourself. And you're not saying, my energy is so valuable that I'm going to protect it over anything. Because when you start looking at it that way, then it becomes like, I just can't afford to bleed that much energy that way. Because it becomes like a protective, and it's really, it's kind of a cool way. It's a very nurturing thing to think for yourself. Mm-hmm. That I just want to have a lot of time, and your productivity will just increase so much. When you don't have these open loops in your head, when you go, that's there, but it's unfinished, and I'll get back to that later, you know, it's like, close the loop, because you're nattering on stuff all the time out here, taking energy away from stuff that you might need to do.
Cool. Any other, you guys good on that? Anyone else want to share anything, or? Cool. We have about 5 or 10 more minutes. Let's talk through. I want to encourage, if you guys have teams too, to look at this, the rituals with your teams too, or just to think through them. All of this applies to teams just as much as it does to you on an individual level. Let's look through the workbook pages. Do you want to start talking about possible rituals? Page 90 and 91.
Well, you've read some of the possible rituals on page 90 and 91. We just gave you some examples, like keeping the vision. If vision is keeping your vision handy in your mind, you might have written a very long vision. Getting it into a very short, on an index card kind of thing, like 2 or 3 phrases that trigger your mind for the entire big picture. And we've done several different things. We put it on our MP3s or our iPods. We listen to it when we drive sometimes. Or I have it somewhere prominently displayed on my computer or somewhere just to remind your mind why you're doing this. You know, where you're headed, what's your big exciting picture. So the positive emotions, you've mentioned the meditation. That for me is something really important.
Positive aspects process, if you guys like that, and
I would continue that because that's so powerful.
It takes only 10 minutes or so, but it's the best 10 minutes you'll spend during
the day. One thing you end up from this class, and if you're still continuing that, that's just going to have so much benefit for you in every other area of your life, is continuing that. And then the focus. Whatever you need to do, putting signs on your door, do not disturb.
I mean, you want to engineer your entire day around focus.
Yes.
And if you've got a team, engineer the way you work together around focus, too. In other words, you know, we can brainstorm with you guys at the end here and give you some ideas about what possible ways you can structure it, because it is a challenge. I mean, it really is a challenge, and there's no perfect solution to it. You can make a ritual around the sprinting versus resting idea. So setting a timer, like you were mentioning before, and then doing movements. You mentioned going for a walk. I mean, sometimes I just go out for a walk because that's an active way to move your body, get your body kind of in flow.
10 minutes. Outside in this weather, you know, it's just like you're doing the cross crawls while you walk. You know, you're integrating your brain. You're getting connecting with nature. That's just like,
don't check Facebook or email.
Raises your energy so much.
Leave your phone at home.
Yeah, don't take your phone. Like I've gone down the walk, my driveway with my dog, and I'm on my phone, and I go, just put it back there.
So those are just some ideas. You can come up with your own ritual, whatever works for you. We just wanted to just kind of get your brain
going.
Let's talk briefly about the ritual creation process. So we're looking at the workbook pages now. That's on page
97.
So the first thing you do is just get to write down a short version of your big vision to get in your mind, remind you why you're doing this in the first place, why you're putting these rituals in the first place. I think you already identified today which number two, one of the area that you want to focus on the most.
Focus and emotion is what I'm hearing people say.
For the most part. Vision is a cool one too, though, because it kind of helps with all those areas in a lot of ways too. When I read my vision, it really gets me excited in a lot of ways, and it reminds me that I need to focus in order to achieve it. And so, you know, don't discount that if you're not already doing something around that. So,
My problem is I'm not focusing on the vision. I'm focusing on the task.
You're focusing on the task.
And then the tasks become like, oh.
I have to do it.
Yeah. It's because why am I doing this?
Right.
It's like why we're doing this, God. That gets very exciting when you can look at the why.
And sometimes you decide to do a different task when you focus on your vision because you say, well, this thing isn't really moving me towards what I want to do. So I just want to encourage you, if that resonates with you, to start looking at that.
Would you recommend like once a week or once a month?
I read it every day.
You read your vision every day?
Every day.
And it's not, it's four pages, and it takes me about 10 or 15 minutes to do.
But somebody doesn't do it every day. Would it be good to do it once a week, like you had a 10-minute vision meeting with yourself?
Yeah, sure.
You know,
you can do it as a team, too. You can,
or as a team. Or
I have a short version. I have a short version, you know, that I look at her. Shortened version.
I put a card, y'all taught us this, put a card, write it down on a card, and stamp it right up in front of you so you can take a moment and go up and read it. It works. But it's shortened version, not my long one.
It's long,
my long
it's the one.
I get bored before I would finish my long one. You know,
yeah.
I have to do it every day. The other one does is really, really good. Very helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's the aspect also you want to put on the card, the aspect of your vision that's the most exciting part of it. So for me, it was like The Office, which is, yeah, that's kind of cool.
Which isn't my favorite, is it?
Yeah,
mine's different.
Right. Yeah.
You know, Red Brick Walls just doesn't turn me on that much.
Not that easy.
No, it's okay.
There's a brick holding the door open.
So you've settled. Really.
Yeah.
Well, the wall of brick, what's the difference?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to do something with video.
Put your name on that brick, too, buddy.
It was more about the video. Matt's
got the plan for the brick wall.
Has he? Yeah. We haven't talked about that. So I'll get it. It just won't be the way I thought it was going to be. So then you're going to think about, you're going to look at some of the non-productive actions. Because in the way of your ritual are the things that you're already doing now, right? Rituals don't just automatically create themselves and just work from day one. There are going to be some things that pull you off, the things that you're doing now that are kind of non-productive actions, and we'll talk about how to do that in a second. And then we want you to look at your saboteurs and ask yourself, do your saboteurs contribute to these non-productive behaviors? In most cases, they do. Cool. All right.
Can I ask a question about the saboteurs?
Yes.
When I was doing some of this stuff, my saboteurs, the two highest, one was right, the other one I think is not right. The next one down is. It has me pegged, and I keep looking back. And it's almost like those two should have been my highest, and the next one down, the one that they say is second. Is it better to go back and take it again and see?
You can take it again and see.
Because
that
really... you know, as I'm looking, I was trying, it said to look and see what those were, what in the little sayings were, and none of them were it. And it's like, no, but this other one was. Just like, that was it.
Yeah.
And so I wondered if it was just,
it could be,
could it be wrong?
The way
or did
you
I answer
one of the questions,
just a little
at the
bit.
Time, excuse
me.
Could have been that,
Okay.
For the most part, it's pretty accurate, but sometimes it's, you know, you can take it again. See, if it comes out the same again, you just might want to ask yourself, is there something
better,
there?
Don't
you know?
Yeah, because sometimes we're not aware of
right.
something,
uh-huh.
and then, just take it again.
Like, one of mine was Stickler, and I didn't think I had that.
Stickler didn't, it applies in one small area, but
right.
that avoider meant it.
Yeah.
got me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was further, way further down.
Yeah. And I didn't really think that I had a Stickler saboteur. Until I don't always have it, but I do have it comes up sometimes, and I've realized now that I do have that. Like, it's kind of the controlling. It's got to be done the right way. I'm really picky about certain content, especially in creating things, and I get I'm like anal about it.
YPN.
In a lot of ways.
What are these questions that you're gonna ask?
Yeah, it comes out in the YPN sometimes, And now I really thank you.
Can you start when you play with this more? You'll start hearing it in people's language. Like, I know somebody was telling me, we have to start the meeting on time. It's a part of another group that I'm with. And I cannot stand for somebody to take my energy away. We have to start and end on time. And I was like, whoa, there's a stickler there. But she doesn't know her saboteur and how it just like comes across. And it's like, okay. It's language. You will start hearing the words from the persons. You know, the pleaser. I've got pleaser in me also,
It'll
kill
you.
Yeah, it will.
Cool. So you're going to choose, you're going to just do your best to identify the keystone habit, the thing that triggers the non-productive actions. So it might take a little thinking about, thinking through your day, what is it that really triggers it? What is the thing that just makes everything kind of go in the wrong direction? We gave some examples of there for us of what our kind of trigger behaviors are. This is the really important part. So the real key to creating a new ritual and getting rid of non-productive habits is this question 6. What barriers or obstacles will you put in the way of blindly doing the activity? Remember that these are habits, right? These are habits in the way that we behave. They're hardwired into our brain. There's something called activation energy. That's a really cool concept. In physics, activation energy is the energy that you need to catalyze a reaction, right? So I think I said that right? Mm-hmm. So it's the initial energy that you need to basically make something happen, a physical reaction, a chemical reaction, right? The same thing happens for our behaviors. So think about, like, if you're starting a new ritual to run, for example, the things you have to do, you got to plan around your day, you got to get your clothes ready, you know, you got to make sure everything is ready. There's lots of little things in the beginning that require a lot of energy to sustain that ritual, right? And the reverse, the things that you're doing non-productive, they're easy access, right? Checking my iPhone, that was so easy for me to do because it was my alarm clock. It was like there was no barrier in the way for me to actually do the behavior. So what you want to do is you want to increase the activation energy for the negative stuff, make it really difficult to do it, make it so you have to consciously decide to do it, interrupt that pattern in your brain, and make the things that you want to do, your new ritual, very easy. That's the main idea. Make it so accessible, so easy to do the ritual that you almost have to. Does that make sense? That's kind of the ritual creation process in a nutshell. So for me, the positive aspects, I literally put little booklets all over, everywhere in the house, in any possible place I could do the positive aspects with a pen stuck in it. Because I knew sometimes, oh, I don't have a pen, I can't do it right now, right? And so I wouldn't do it that day. But when it's really right there in front of you and easy to do, you do it. Does that kind of make sense? Mm-hmm. All right.
Any questions about that? Because that's kind of an interesting thought, and we want you to just play with us. Once you decide, what's my keystone habit that starts me down that path of not being focused or maybe not being in touch with my emotions or something? When you identify that, you want to make it easier to do the new ritual and harder to go back into your old habit.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Do anybody have an example? Like, what's one thing that you think you might already have a keystone habit? You know, as soon as I do this, I'm down the track.
I do it a lot with eating. Like, oh, if I've screwed up on eating bad, like, the rest of the day, it's fair game. And then tomorrow...
Yeah,
you'll be refocused. I mean, it's just that's always been in my life. You know, people do that. Like your beer and stuff. I mean, it just triggers that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So I made it hard for me to get beer and chips.
Right.
You know? And then I have reminders on my refrigerator door. Like, what do I want to do? Why do I want to do this? Because it's so hard.
Right.
Why do I want this? And it's very exciting. That why is very exciting. So, you know, focus. What did you mention? Focus or something else, Ian?
I mentioned focus. I think for me, maybe like you, Dusty, and maybe you, Josh, I'm a night owl.
Yeah.
So getting up early for me
is mm-hmm.
so hard. It's the mm-hmm. hardest thing. And I guess my question about that is, you know, some people are night owls, and some people are morning people. And can you really change that about yourself?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Because okay. I used to be a night owl.
I used to be a night owl too.
Okay.
Now I'll wake up at 4 in the morning, 5 in the morning.
You can
change. Sometimes 2 in the morning, but that depends on how much wheels I got rolling in my head.
Well, and like sometimes when I do, like I'll set my alarms. I mean, sometimes I still don't like getting up, but it's easier now. I'm kind of in that, like, I used to be, and now I'm really starting to meet my parents are morning people, but I'll turn my meditation on because I can lay there and do it. I don't have to be seated. I mean, they say to be seated, but it doesn't matter, and I'll turn that on and just do it in bed. And it's like, you're still thinking, you're awakening yourself, right. And it's really easy to concentrate on that, be still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a ritual that you put right in bed. Yeah. You see how she made it easy for access.
I don't know if you ever completely change the biorhythms, mm-hmm. but you can adapt to it. I mean, you can get it to the point where you can, because it's, you know, for us night owls, it really is hard mm-hmm. to, because our society does not, you know,
we're a day owl. We're not a day owl, but we're gotta be up functioning with it. Yeah.
I'm really envious of those people that just get up in the morning and that's their time. Yeah. It's just, I mean, like 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, that's when I start gearing up.
Yeah, seriously.
And I wish I was not that way.
That's when I'm starting. Well, I tell you what, you start getting up at 4 every day and you see how your day, if you can just make sure you get up at 4 every day and start doing something. Maybe get up and exercise or do something that'll
wake you up. Mm-hmm. And you keep going, and you see how late you want to stay up. Mm-hmm. You won't, because you'll be tired from doing all the exercise throughout the day, and you'll kind of get yourself into that system. And before you know it, you created that habit or that ritual or whatever of getting into that system. That's just been my experience. Because I used to go to bed at 4 in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I've never been that.
Well, I will say, too, that some of these rituals will help you get up faster. Like, for me, the positive aspects process gets my mind focused and, like, alert a lot faster in the morning when I do it. And so you can create rituals that exercise is another one. If you have a hard time getting going during the day, exercising early can boost your brain so quickly and so for a long period of time. So, yeah, you just kind of have to learn to adapt, I think.
Yeah.
And that's what I still struggle with it sometimes, too, being a night owl and not waking up early enough just because it's...
Yeah, and it's disgusting. I'm a morning person, and I wake up cheerful.
Yeah.
And my husband is not. So it's like...
My wife isn't either. I send the kids in to get her up on the weekend. Like, Jimmy, you get this? Go ask your mommy. She's sleeping.
Is everyone good and pretty clear about what we're doing? We want to, let me pass this out before we finish. This is the new section that we created for you guys. It's on purpose.
Hey, I have a lesson 6.
Yeah, it's the second lesson 6.
Second lesson 6, got it.
Well, we actually need to discuss this just for a minute, what to do time-wise.
You want to broach this? Because in order to cover the material, we really...
I really need an extra session.
Yeah, you get them.
That's fine.
We need an extra session to be able to cover and finish the.
Is that okay with you guys?
Cool.
That's fine.
We
that okay?
I'm okay.
Is the EFT going to the back burner?
It's not going to the back burner. We're talking about. Next week we're not meeting because. We're not meeting because Matt and Mike are gone and. And there's some other conflicts here. So this is really going to be before vision when we, thanks to your help, we evolved to write it. And now when we do this coaching again, this will come before vision. But for now, we're doing it here.
Okay.
So we wanted to have a session so we can debrief this, because this is probably a hugely important chapter. It's all the rituals that you're doing and implementing. And so we're going to skip next week and come back May 5th. So if we come back May 5th, we're debriefing this whole thing on rituals to see how you did and to implement that and see that further. And we would be, you're going to have read that, and then we're talking about purpose. Is that okay?
Does that work?
And then we just put pushing the EFT.
We'll still do that in the latter part of the May 12th, I think it would be the meeting, Monday the May 12th.
Right.
We'll introduce that, we'll start that, and then the bonus sessions will be about that. And the benefit of that is it's something that the visual that you kind of need to see, especially if you're new to it, and we'll have it recorded in video so you guys can just, you know, if you absolutely can't make those sessions, it'll be recorded for you, the whole video training. We really do encourage you to make those still, too, because it's powerful stuff. It's really cool. So
we're going to be here again...
The next two times. May 5th and then May 12th.
Cinco de Drigo.
Oh, yeah. It's right. Got a lot of margaritas.
Does that work for you guys? I hope you're not out of
town
or something during those days. Is that okay? All right, Fiddy?
And if you are, we'll have the recording, too, like always.
Yeah,
so.
Works.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
We'll make it official.
Right. Anything else we need to cover?
Any questions?
We really appreciate you. Oh, do you have a comment or question?
My question is just going to be, what exactly are our tasks for next
week? Oh, okay, good, yes.
Okay.
These workbook pages that Josh went over.
The one we went through, and then
read this.
Repurpose.
Read it,
right?
Okay.
So the end of 5 lesson.
Just read it. Don't
the
read
the
purpose.
Read 6. Both 6.
Just the purpose one.
Just the connecting.
Just the purpose. Don't worry about the EFT, emotional freedom technique, for now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, don't read that for next time.
Do the workbook pages on rituals, because that's really important. And it's going to take a little thinking, like, what things do I want to implement to get this going? And then we'll come back and get some feedback and some sharing and some ideas.
And do it as a team, too, if you have a team. That's...
And if you guys have a team, that would be helpful to maybe do together. I mean, for yourself, but also work it out
we can be available here also to help you guys.
Cool. We'll need some extra help.
Yeah.
Cool.
Any other questions? We cleared it, everything?
All right, cool.
We really, really appreciate your feedback on the surveys, and hopefully you don't feel surveyed out. It's almost, we just want to know, what did you not understand, so we can go, oh, well, we really need to explain that a little bit better. So we really, those of you who are taking the time to answer the surveys, thank you so much for that. Appreciate it. Helps
cool.
us.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Y'all have a good week.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. 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 Th